Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You've got to have that hunger and that competitive edge to when you want something, you know what I mean? You got to go out and get it.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Matt Schramer, former professional rugby league player for the Gold Coast Titans. You'll hear how he delved into property despite aspiring to be an athlete his whole life, how the many hardships throughout his rugby career influenced his mindset, and how he has built up his portfolio in a short amount of time. We find out a bit more about Matt Schramer and what he currently does.
29 years old from the Gold Coast, originally from Brisbane and Queensland. So Queensland born and bred. And my identity, so to speak, I was a former NRL athlete, professional athlete, then turned real estate agent, then turned high performance coach for younger athletes. And whilst doing all of this, I've been a property investor on the side, really enjoy that, and also about to become an entrepreneur and start my buyer's agency business as well. So, that's in a nutshell.
The multitasking investor delves into what a typical day in his life looks like.
At the moment, I coach basically aspiring athletes with the Gold Coast Titans NRL side. So, literally from 12 years old all the way up to sort of 22 years old, basically a high performance environment where we look after kids who are aspiring to be up and coming athletes. We mentor them, coach them, and lead them on the right path, and do that on a day-to-day basis with all the property stuff as well.
Before delving into the property side of things, Schramer shares a bit about his upbringing.
I grew up in Brisbane in a suburb called Forest Lake. Sort of southwest Brisbane, nice suburb. It's coming a long way. It was like one of those larger estates back in the day where, families built their forever homes type thing. So, it's actually quite a nice suburb. I enjoyed it. Went to school there from literally preschool all the way to high school at Forest Lake State High School. And, the only reason I'm down the Gold Coast now is because when I signed my contract with the Titans, I made the move down to the Gold Coast and haven't left since.
I guess you can say it's for work reasons.
for work reasons. But then once I finished that chapter, I realised, the beach is a bit better than the lake I had up there in Brizzy. So beautiful down here.
He goes on to share at what stage in his life he delved into rugby.
My mindset was always to become a professional athlete. So you'll see a lot of guys literally from graduation at year 12, they'll go straight into basically a full-time professional athlete. So mine was a little bit different. I that was my goal, but I didn't quite get there. At 18, I was sort of hustling and working hard to try and get a contract. So on the side, I was working in, doing anything, warehousing, labouring, just all different sort of jobs to facilitate, my passion of chasing being a professional athlete. So I worked pretty long hours. Like I'd train and then go to the warehouse, do some work there, and unpack containers and stuff, and then train again in the afternoon. So it was a good slog, but I ended up getting there in the end at 19 years of age. End up signing with the Gold Coast Titans.
The former rugby player explains how many hours he needed to commit to training whilst managing his heavy workload.
Well, trainings were always generally in the morning in the junior grades. So when I was coming through the ranks around that 17 to 19 year old age, I'd go to work in the mornings and work all day, and then I was lucky enough I had a job where they would let me out at sort of 3 p.m. So I'd leave the warehouse at around 3 p.m., had around a good solid seven-hour day there. Then I'd drive down to the Gold Coast from Brisbane, and then I'd spend the next sort of 2 to 3 hours doing gym and field fitness down there. And that was sort of the routine. I'd drive home around, get home pretty late. I was really fortunate. I was living at home at that stage, so Mum had the food on the table ready for me, which is lucky. And then, so that was the process for a few years. So it was tough, but definitely builds resilience. And when you've got a goal, it's just like property investing as well. We always think of that. You hear that word, your why. So my why was to always become a professional athlete. No one in my family done it, and my brother and my dad got close, and I really wanted to. I was the baby of the family, so I was sort of the last hope of getting there. So I really wanted to become a professional athlete.
Shrama shares whether he did a lot of training to become an athlete before moving to the Gold Coast.
I guess in primary school, like you play for the fun of it and you enjoy it, and you know, you make rep teams and stuff like that. But once you get into sort of high school and late high school, you start. The training starts picking up, obviously. So, yeah, I've always loved my training, so to speak. It was always had that common goal. Why? Like, so when times are tough and I was tired after a big day's work, it's sort of like, well, I know if I put the work in, you know, it's all going to be worth it in the end. So, and just staying consistent with that. So, I guess, yeah, like anything in life, I know it sounds cliche, but I've seen it firsthand in the athlete world. It's like, hard work and consistency will always be natural talent, hands down.
He looks back on the time in his life when he realised he could actually become a rugby player, as the career requires a lot of strength and fitness.
It's a funny one. Like, there was a point probably when I was 17, 18, and I actually got cut from, funnily enough, from the Titans. I was in our junior squads. So as a 17, 18-year-old in our junior squads, then I actually missed out on the final cut to make our under 20s side. And then I basically stopped traveling to the Gold Coast. I stayed and obviously just stayed at home and played for a local team in Ipswich and in the Southeast Queensland competition. And at that point, it really hurt, obviously, to be cut. But that was sort of a time in my life where I sort of thought, oh, maybe this isn't for me, professional sport and stuff like that. But then, yeah, I know, it sounds cliche. When your why is strong enough, you know, you'll push through that. So I just stayed out. I didn't really care that they cut me. I just kept working hard and worked long hours, and then was doing my trade at Ipswich, the football team there. And I had two really good years there and won some awards. And then a few clubs came knocking, and then I decided to go back to their Titans. They actually let me go, and then they wanted me back, and I sort of felt, that was my calling on the Gold Coast. I really wanted to become like an NRL player for the Titans.
He goes on to explain what it's like to be a full-time professional rugby league player.
I guess from a macro level, yeah, you're paid to be the best athlete you can be. I guess it's like you're an entertainer, so to speak, you know what I mean? So everything is geared towards making sure your body's right, making sure you're fast, you're strong, making sure your knowledge base is strong. So video and analysis constantly, extras, improving, self-growth, you know, doing all the extra sort of things. And then I guess what from a micro point of view, some people might not see, like you do a lot of community stuff. Like us as a club, we're big on supporting our local community and school. So you do a lot of those sort of visits and visit, kids in hospital. And, you might go to school and run a session there and just promote the brand and yourself around that sort of stuff as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of positives to it. I really enjoyed it. But I guess what people don't see is the hardships and the roller coaster of emotions and stuff like that, because, you know, you're so invested in it and it is a bit like a bubble. So your whole world revolves around, you basically making that side. And if you're not in that side, you could be injured, might not make the side. You know, you're playing good one week, you're cut the next week. It's, and then you're they'll cut your salary. Like, it's pretty cutthroat. You always got to be at the top of your game, and there's always someone above you that you're chasing, and there's always someone younger than you hunting for your spot as well. So, yeah, you always got to be on your game.
Reflecting on his time with the Titans, he shares with us the hardships and the challenges he experienced.
Something that doesn't get spoken about, and that's why I respect, I respect a lot of industries, of course, but I obviously know the athlete space really well and what athletes go through, not just rugby league, like all athletes in general, and even the toll it takes on families and stuff like that. Like for instance, I had teammates who, they sign a deal, just say on the Gold Coast, and then they're cut, and then they're told, you know, they're not wanted here, and then they have to literally shift their whole family to move the kids out of school who they just made friends with, and then like travel over, they have to go to England or somewhere, you know, that they didn't want to really go. And things happen like literally in 24 hours. Like, you might be signed with the Gold Coast, next minute you're getting told you're not wanted, and you've got to pack up and leave to Sydney if you want to keep your dream alive. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff. For me personally, I was really lucky. I was a one club man. I played for the Gold Coast the whole time. I signed a long-term deal there, which was really good. But for me, my biggest struggle was definitely with injuries and stuff like that. So, like, you know, my first 3 years as a, you know, 19-year-old coming in the first grade and debuting at 20 years old, basically like living the dream, you know what I mean? I'm winning man of the matches. I'm our starting hooker. TV and media, all that sort of stuff. And then probably 2 years in, you know, I get one injury and then I'm out for a few months. And then I basically had about six to seven injuries back to back. All up, I had sort of 9 surgeries throughout my short career. And that was really tough to sort of be on the spotlight, and then basically no one even knows where you are. You're basically on your own training and rehab and getting the body right. And then I'm back in there again, worked hard, and then, you know, I'll get a dislocated shoulder. So, yeah, it was a really tough trot with the injury. Just mentally staying focused and staying, because I see a lot of guys, you know, they might even have just 1 or 2 injuries, and it really, really knocks them around because, you know, they obviously didn't plan to have that. So for me, it built a lot of resilience, and I really enjoyed that process. As funny as it sounds, it made me who I am today, and it was tough. There's plenty of tough moments. It's an emotional roller coaster. You ask any athlete, it's definitely an emotional roller coaster.
Sharma shares how his injuries have had a long-term impact on him, allowing him to focus on other things outside of being an athlete.
I'm sure we will about the property stuff, and that's how it all sort of started, because I had extra time. But it's like, to this day, like, I always believe things happen for a reason, and with every sort of setback, there's blessings that come out of it. And as funny as it sounds, yeah, I had a heap of injuries and I had to work really hard to maintain them. But funnily enough, like now, post-career, and I still really enjoy my fitness and looking after my body. My body's probably the best shape it's ever been because I've worked so hard at trying to get it to a level where I'm not in pain. So it's beyond that now. It's more like I've improved actually where I was as a young kid. So, but yeah, you're exactly right. That's why I ended up retiring. I got doctor's advice, you know, at 26, you know, I had 9 surgeries, and they're sort of saying, well, you know, footy's not everything in life. You got to take a, you know, you got to be able to run with your children one day and stuff like that. So that's where I weighed things up and realized, you know, there is more to life than just being an athlete.
It's really fascinating to hear it from that. I mean, like, 26 is still extremely young. Most people are just finishing either university and just starting, and you've just retired.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, Tyrone. Like, I look at it now, and like, I still have to tell myself I'm still young. Like, it's just funny, like any athlete, because it's such a small window. Like, you're literally thrust into the scene at like 19 with these grown men. So yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you sort of grow up pretty quick, but I have to keep reminding myself, like, far out. Like, looking back now, man, I was just a baby. Like, in my even maturity level in terms of just life, where you know, now that I'm 29, I'm sort of like, man, I was such a baby. And then it's funny, like, me talking about this now at 29, probably when I get to 30, 40, I'll be like, man, I had no idea what I was talking about in my 20s. So, yeah, you're right, but it's a you are so young when you're in your athlete. You don't know any different. Yeah.
Coming up after the break, we hear how the former rugby league player got into property investment.
It's an interesting one because looking back now and knowing what I know, you hear it with a lot of investors, what's the one thing you wish you did, you change? And, you know, it's usually, I wish I got into it earlier. And for me, that's definitely the case as well. Like,
how many properties he currently holds in his portfolio?
So at the moment, there's 5 in the portfolio. It sits around 2.5 million with a 60% LVR. So yeah, they've all done pretty well. But I'm at the point now where, and this is, I guess, another real big lesson I've learned as well, is the power of servicing and stuff like that, and how you can boost, your case to the bank.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Sharma goes on to talk about how his family background in sport influenced him to pursue a career in rugby.
Pretty standard story, you know. Dad played. He didn't play professionally. He was always a hard worker. He nearly got there, and then obviously that transitioned onto my older brother. He played. He nearly got there. He played semi-professional. You know, still was working and stuff like that. Never got to the NRL, but he was sort of close and stuff like that. So yeah, it just got passed down really. And I always laugh about it. Like, me and my brother used to compete on everything. Like, he was 6 years older than me, and just always getting beaten throughout my whole childhood. And and it's funny, I look back now, and it probably, that's the reason why I think I ended up getting there in the end, is because I'm so used to losing, you know, and always like wanting to beat him with everything. And I think anything in life, like especially sport, but same, you can relate it to investing as well. Like, you've got to have that hunger and that competitive edge to when you want something. You know what I mean? You got to go out and get it. Like, it's not going to come to you, sort of thing. So I think it's just been passed down from my family. Yeah.
He goes on to share the stage in which he finally took the plunge into property.
It's an interesting one because, looking back now and knowing what I know, you hear it with a lot of investors, what's the one thing you wish you did, you change? And, you know, it's usually, I wish I got into it earlier. And for me, that's definitely the case as well. Like, knowing what I know now, like, you know, I was on a contract to play professional sport at 19, 20. I could have, like, now that I know about servicing and all that sort of, like, I should have taken advantage of the banks and, you know, in stuff like that, but I just had no idea about property at all. So it actually, I got into property pretty much when I retired. It's a funny story. I was sitting in a waiting room for, I had an injury, and it was one of my last injuries before I retired. And just sitting in the waiting room, and they had the magazines, you know, just the magazines in the waiting room, like the New Idea and all the women weekly or whatever it is, and there was a random like Australian property API mag, I think it was API, whatever the magazine's called, one of them older style ones, and I just picked that up and started reading it, and I don't know, it sort of like hooked me straight away. Like, it sounds weird, like there's a lot of just stories like of people doing in property, and then a lot of graphs and numbers, and I love all that sort of stuff as well. And it really, really interested me that property, people were actually buying property not to live in, like people were like using it as like an investment vehicle. So, I still laugh about it to this day. Like, I actually took the mag home. It's still got the sticker on it. This is property of the X-ray plate. So I will give it back to them one day. I promise that. But I did. That's how much I loved it. And I've never seen that magazine before. I just didn't even know they made magazines on property. And so I was like, man, I really have to take this. I don't know where I'll find it. And then I ended up seeing them in like news agencies. So yeah, just used to flood my brain with that sort of content and YouTube and stuff. And that's how I got into it. But yeah, to answer your question, that was pretty much at the back end of my career, yeah.
What year was that roughly that you actually started looking at your first property?
I retired in 2016. I got my first property in 2014 and then my first investment property at 2015. So, yeah, basically just had an owner occ and one investment. Pretty much when I retired. But, yeah, I could have definitely capitalized a lot more if I knew what I knew now and stuff. But as I said, I'm happy with what happened. You win and you learn, don't you?
He looks back on the first property he purchased and shares how he found it.
For me, my journey was a bit different. Like I went the owner occ first and investment after that. But for me, looking back, I probably would have went like an investment first, to be honest. Now knowing what I know and things like that, I didn't know too much about investing, so to speak. I knew a little bit about property, so. Yeah, I just in 2014 I got an owner. I still actually live here now, and it's got land content. It's close to the beach, and I didn't know a thing about negotiation at that stage. So looking back again, I probably could have saved a lot more money if I knew what I was doing then. I didn't even know what I was building a pest. I had nobody sort of to lean on, like with the process. Obviously, the agent's always working for the seller, and they help you to a degree, but I generally felt like I had no one to lean on to because no one in my family was into property or anything like that. So, I just sort of went on YouTube and typed in, you know, things like what's a broker and what's a solicitor and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, just learned as I went. So, yeah, got this first property that's done really well now. Pure coincidence. As they say, location does a lot of heavy lifting. So I was in it's just really close to the ocean, and it's obviously you can't build east. So, and it experienced some good growth down here on the Gold Coast at that 2014 mark.
He delves more into how he was inspired to get into property after picking up that first Australian Property Investor magazine.
It was like a meant to be moment because, I was. Or after I bought that owner occupier, the first one, you sort of like, oh, it's like for some people, that's the dream, isn't it? Just to buy, you know, an owner occupier and pay it off in 40 years or whatever. But, I was still earning money and, I was a single guy just living and not real too many expenses other than that mortgage. And, it's like, well, what is your, I just loved education. So the more you start reading and learning, your mindset changes. So I guess my mindset started shifting after, you know, the usual like rich dad, poor dad. And, you just see other people and learn about leverage and all that sort of stuff. And that's when I started thinking like I just used to put my savings in a term deposit at the bank. And then I'd be like, oh, yeah, you get a return. But obviously, you know, like you can get a way better return than that. So, that's when I got really into like, okay, how can I invest for the purpose, not to live in, to actually generate some wealth in terms of cash flow and capital growth. So, yeah, that's when I got in the rabbit hole. And as you know, once you're in the rabbit hole, it's hard to get out. It's a really interesting world, the property investment space. And there's always something to learn. No one knows everything. You know what I mean? I think there's so much to learn in that space.
Inspired by Matt Schramer's journey, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory, where we'll hear about the moment where everything just clicked for him.
When you get the rental income coming in, like into your bank account, and then, your repayments, if you bought well and, you bought at the right price and you got your loan structured properly and, you know, with all that side of things, you sort of look at your balance sheet and you're like, far out, like,
the kinds of resources that have inspired him along his investing journey.
There's a bit of everything everywhere, so you've got to be educated in what you do. But my go-tos, mate, podcasts, like honestly, like yourself, The property couch is really good.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory.